following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Do the bang thing. Do the bang thing.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Where does Tom Brady rank on your all-time list, Greg?
Well, he's awfully hot.
I think Troyton's a queer.
Hello.
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, 6-time Pro Bowler, Donovan McNabb.
I've been just going home.
Bacon. You know, brothers. You know I'm bacon.
I got
you know
I love bacon.
You're going to love this. Bacon.
As a white man, I have to take a stand. I remain outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
I'm gonna whip my ding ding out.
And now, here's John and Tom.
The party has begun on the Steelers sideline. A team that has missed the playoffs 2 of its last 3 years, the Pittsburgh Steelers, fixed that today.
The AFC North champion Bengals have equaled a franchise record with 12 regular season wins.
There you go. Panthers beat Tampa Bay for the 2nd time this year, and this one was sweet as the Panthers put a check by the box.
Yes, they did.
Of home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Here's the snap to Bortles. Here's the rush. Bortles in trouble, and he's going to go down. He's sacked by J.J. Watt, his 2nd of the afternoon.
Rodgers takes the snap, goes on a 5-step drop, flushed out to the right, looks into the end zone, fires to the end zone, intercepted by the Minnesota Vikings.
And listen to this reaction as Peyton takes the field. His crowd is thrilled.
And you'll hear the roar.
I'll tell you what, it also shows Gary Kubiak is committed to winning. His best chance is putting Peyton Manning under center, and the crowd is letting him hear it.
Manning in a victory formation will take a knee.
There were many people who thought we'd never see him play again. And now he's going to ride into the playoffs with home field advantage throughout. What a story going into the postseason.
Roar, roar, roar.
You know, Jim, we talked about it in the pregame. Peyton Manning going into the playoffs with the home field advantage means he will get to play playoff games at home.
Right. You know, I mean, I'm excited about the playoffs, and my team's not in it, so I know you got to be excited.
Oh, my God, I'm on pins and needles.
It should be a lot of fun. You know, Bill Belichick, of course, John, he said that the Patriots will play a good team in the playoffs.
The thing in postseason is every team's a good team. I mean, you're not going to be in a postseason if you're not a good team. And whoever we play next week is going to be a team that's not only a good team, but they will have won a playoff game. It doesn't matter who that team is. However it comes out, that team will be a good team. So for us to beat them, we're going to have to play our best game of the year.
That's right. They're going to be a football team, Tom. There's going to be 53 of them on the roster. They're going to bring 47 of them out there in uniforms. We're going to have to play hard to beat them. We're going to have to play football because they're going to be wearing helmets just like our guys.
All right. I'm Tom. He's John. It is Bang Radio Hour number 268. And before we do another thing, before we get into this show, I got to do this. I know it's been 2 weeks since we did our last show, and I have to do this. I love this.
Players to score. One more winning drive.
In your face.
Here goes. Score 3. Sometimes 4. Hey, over 50 yards is fine.
And it is good.
Fantasy football team. Fantasy football team. Fantasy football team.
Food to keep and start this week.
Yeah.
Fantasy where the fans compete. Fantasy, what's your strategy? Fantasy
football team.
And John's fantasy football team was the best, and I gotta say congratulations on winning the 2015 In the Zone Fantasy Football Championship.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank all the little people that helped me accomplish this, namely myself and me, because everybody else didn't do a damn thing but try to knock me off. And I'll tell you what, man. I'll tell you what. Picking up Jordan Reed in like week number 7.
Huge.
And huge.
Yes.
Huge.
No doubt. That was a big pickup. And not trading Odell Beckham.
Well, yeah, but the man made a good case for himself, so I have to listen to what the player has to say.
So good on you, man. You beat me in the championship, and so you get a little
with
more...
With Odell Beckham suspended. I was freaking on that, too, man. I was like, shit, I can't even remember who I started at wide receivers. I think it was somebody I picked up on the waiver wire that morning. I was like, shit, Odell Beckham suspended.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember, but yeah, Julio Jones and Jordan Reed both went off for you. And, man, my guys just... It seemed like all my guys, I mean, they played solid, but... You know, Cam Newton only had the one touchdown, and it looked great. I mean, right at the beginning of the game, he runs in for a touchdown. I'm like, yeah, here we go, and that was it. And then it was like, that was it. You know, so
I know. And then I'm watching on Monday Night Football at Demaryius Thomas. Every time he catches a pass, I'm like, God damn, tackle him, just tackle him, take him down. So yeah, it was nice. I was glad to win. Since it's a keeper league, I've been building this team for 4 years. It's good to see it finally come to fruition. Now all my players are probably going to want book deals and shit, and I'm never going to keep the egos in check.
Right. Looking at our fantasy leagues with everybody out there listening, we've got our finals in, and there he is, first place in the Pick'em final, the great Corn Julio. He pretty much almost wire to wire. Got 143 picks right. Second place, Ding Thanks, with 140. And then we got a three-way tie for third. We've got Lawrence of Arabia.
It's some Japanese guy.
Yeah. Anglo Vike, he's the missing toenail.
Okay.
And then Anadem, Gronk, Gronk, Bonk, Bonk. That's the top five final for the season in the Pick'em. And then the Eliminator, Skip's Naked Nana. Now, that was, I can't remember, what was it? It was Skip's, I can't remember
Skip's Naked Nana?
Yeah, he changed it. It was something different before when we read these, but it was similar.
I got a tweet from Hot Corey saying that he won.
Well, he tied. He tied Skip's Naked Nana for the Eliminator final. They both got 14 right.
It sounds just as kinky as all hell. We just got ourselves put on watch lists, you know.
Great Corn Julio and Skip's Naked Nana. And then we got a three-way tie for second place. We got T.O.'s wife, who he finally got divorced from. They were married for a weekend.
Finalist for the Hall of Fame, though.
Yes, he is. He is. And he's got Hall of Fame numbers. There's no doubt about it.
Yep. I'm surprised he made it this far.
Philip Rivers Infinite Kids, and there's I Know the National Football League. So
I can't ever hear that without hearing Skip in the background going, but wait, what?
Right.
Well, you know, Tilliard would have given us the rundown. However, his sister is now going to have a child, and that will mean there is going to be an Uncle John Tilliard.
Oh.
So that's very nice. I'll tell you what. I'm glad to see that our listeners over in England are able to impregnate their wives, and their sisters are able to have themselves a good time based on the show. I will take full credit for this.
That's a good thing.
They're not listening to romantic music. They're listening to us.
Coming up, Billy Football.
Hooray!
The person who is suffering the most since the Jets missed the playoffs. Wait till you hear who this is and why.
I've been working on a Jets impression.
A Jets impression?
Absolutely. I've been working on a, I see I live near an air base, so I hear jets all the time. So here, this is my impression of a typical green-breasted New York jet. Dude, they had it all in their hands.
I know.
What a bunch of bums.
It's funny listening to Ben Roethlisberger thank the Bills. That was good. Also coming up, Dexter Manley shares another thought.
And you got many to give out.
And John, if you want your daughter to be straight, don't let her play basketball.
I think that's obvious.
This is good. All right, but first, I always love these. You know, one team wins, the other one loses at the end of the season. Something's on the line. And here's...
you know, before you say that, you got to say, well, like we talked about, Jim, when a game starts, one of these teams is going to win, and another one's going to lose.
Well, here's the final call on the Vikings radio network.
Rodgers gets the playoff according to everybody. Back to pass. He steps up middle of the field, fires deep left to the end zone, knocked away! And the Minnesota Vikings are NFC North Division champions!
He's excited. I understand. He's doing Vikings play-by-play, has been for a long time, so he's excited, but didn't quite sound the same over on the Packers radio network.
Rodgers scrambles to his right, steps up. Rainbow deep into the left side of the end zone. It is high-pointed and broken up, incomplete. And the Minnesota Vikings have won the NFC North Division Championship.
Championship.
I like the other guy. He's so excited, he just ignores the peon part. He just says, champion! The guy that does all the goal calls down in Mexican soccer, he's real proud.
He right.
His school.
Right.
So what's it going to be like, -5 degrees this weekend up there?
Yeah. It's going to be cold. That'll be very interesting. We're going to talk about the games coming up.
That's probably why he was so happy about it, the goddamn game being over. He could get in that out of the goddamn cold. He's in a college stadium, you know. He's probably sitting in a concrete box up there.
That game was in Green Bay.
Oh, that's right. Then they probably do not allow opposing team radio broadcasters to come inside.
Yeah, probably not.
Dude, when they were renovating their stadium, the opposing team's locker room was in a trailer in the parking lot. At halftime, you had to walk through the fucking crowd to get to the damn locker room.
All right, so we were just talking about the Jets, you know, and how they blew it against the Bills. And the person the person who is suffering the most from that loss, John.
It ain't Rex Ryan.
Well, no, it's the wife of Jets cornerback Antonio Cromartie.
Well, you know, somebody should go console her.
Her name is Terica Kaysen, and she poured out her emotions. Oh, man, she got on social media.
Is this his wife, or is this like one of his baby mama? Didn't
no.
he have like 10 kids?
No.
Cromartie, right? Because there's a couple of Cromarties.
Yeah, there was another Cromartie. I don't know. This is his wife. This is definitely his wife. But she's very upset about the Jets losing, and she's really pissed, and I've got the audio of this. Uh-huh. And but the thing is, her reason for being mad is a little different than like the Jets fans. So here we go.
Y'all want to know what else I'm mad about? This playoff shit. My husband is going to be home every damn day. Every day. I'm going to have to get up every damn day and act like I'm doing something. Act like I'm cleaning, act like I'm throwing something away, going to the grocery store. Those wife things that I normally do, but at my own pace.
Oh, you poor little sad, sorry bitch.
Look, let's get this straight. You are the wife of a Jets player. They never go to the playoffs. You should be ready for this.
Right.
When I'm ready to do it. Jeez. On my time. Because, yeah, like, he doesn't notice. You know, when he's at work, he's so focused on work and studying and sleeping, getting his body done. Mm-hmm. Doesn't care what goes on at home. But now it's going to be like, are you going to sit there all day? Are you going to watch the shows? Are you still on your phone? What are we eating tonight? It's going to be a whole bunch of bullshit I didn't have to go through since he'd been at camp, you know? We should have an off-season program for the wives.
Are they? I wonder if they haven't been married very long. Maybe this is her first, you know, end of the season.
I guess. Maybe it is. You know, maybe she just, now that he's going to be home, all of those kids are going to be calling. Because right. I do believe it's the same guy, because that came out in the Hard Knocks about the Jets. So, yeah, it's the same Cromartie. And all his kids now, remember there was about 6 of them that were 2 years old, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So now they've got to be about 8, so, you know, they know how to use the phone. They know how to ask dad for money.
Well, here, listen to how she wraps this up.
Because once these guys, I was going to call them something else, once they get off of work, it's hell at home. I mean, they go into the door, checking on deliveries and stuff. Oh, you bought something else? Yeah, I order something. I always order something. That's what I do. You work, I spend money.
Oh, my God. What a happy family that must be.
Yeah, so that's the way this works, honey. You work hard and bust your head open and get yourself one of them concussions like Will Smith have in the movie, and I spend your money.
Right.
That's what I do.
That's what she said.
That's what I do. They ought to have an off-season program, Tom, for the NFL wives, like a training staff at their beck and call. Sounds to me like somebody's having an affair and doesn't like the fact that her husband's going to be home a month early.
Something, man. I don't get it. That's just sad. I mean, does she know what that looks like? She doesn't care. I don't think she cares.
She doesn't care. No way. No. Man. She doesn't care. She's probably young. I would say she's in her early 30s at the latest. Okay? So she's just now starting to get that neck working. Pretty soon that neck is going to be going on its own left to right, and that finger is just going to be permanently stuck up in the air while she says shit like this. You best not say you got a high ankle sprain. I ain't missing no game check. You understand? Because I spend the money, and you ain't causing me to go on no injured reserve. Hell no. You best get yourself shot up and taped up, because I'm going shopping.
All right, Terica Kaysen. Jesus. All right, so Cleveland, up there in Brownsville, they have fired the coach, the general manager, all the players, the fans, relatives of fans and players, anybody who reports on the Browns. You're fired. You're all fucking fired.
Dude, the whole place is on fire. This is getting to be – I mean, I'm a Redskins fan, so I have seen my dysfunction, but this is ridiculous. They don't have the slightest idea what they want to do.
Because everybody's fired again. Again and again and again. Have you seen the picture of the guy wearing the Tim Couch jersey?
Yeah.
But then
he's famous.
But then he's got the cloth down it with every name of every... There's like 30 quarterbacks on this.
Right.
List.
Well, now you got Johnny Manziel wearing a disguise going to Vegas.
Oh, my God. I know. All right. We'll talk about that in a second. But first, I want to play Browns owner Jimmy Haslam. Okay.
Yay.
Here he is. This will get the fans excited, because you think about how long this has been going on, right? You go all the way back to Couch, or even just to the beginning of Haslam. He says
to Otto Graham.
Right. Well, he says...
Jim Brown.
He says, this is a several-year rebuild, John.
I don't think this is a team that's going to go from 3 wins to 13 wins in a year, okay? So I think this is probably a several-year rebuilding program. And as long as we feel we're directionally correct and getting better, then we'll stick with things. But we will be patient. We do want to do this the right way.
Oh, my God.
We are going to build through the draft, and I know there's probably rolling eyes because that hasn't worked so well. But if you look at the successful teams in the NFL, they've built through the draft. We're not going to go out and spend a gazillion dollars in free agency. We're going to build through the draft because we're firmly convinced that's the right way to do it.
Oh, those fans just got to be thrilled with that.
Dude, they don't spend a gazillion dollars in free agency either, do they? Not that I miss. I mean, shit, they go out and they use draft choices on guys that go partying in Vegas the night before games. Wearing a mustache and a disguise. My name is not Johnny Manziel.
It's Billy.
My name is Jimmy Manzu. Oh, shit. Now give me something alcoholic that my dad would drink.
That is funny, man. Wow.
They build through the draft. It's this team. Yeah, we promise this time. We're going to do it right this time. This time, seriously, don't look under there. We're going to do this just right. Freaking bad. And they hired a baseball guy.
I know.
They hired a baseball guy. They're going to try to do the freaking sabermetric shit for the NFL. Dude's going to say,
well, you know, 64% of the time it seems that this quarterback will throw to the right. So let's move everybody over. Let's do the shift.
They're going to... And then they're going to go, you idiot, he audibled into something to the left. And he goes, what do you mean audible? What is that? Oh, my God.
Oh, there you go. Factory of sadness. Now he says, Jimmy Haslam says that this head coaching job is very appealing.
I still think this is an extremely attractive job. It's a great franchise, great fans. There's only one way to go with the franchise. 11 draft picks this year, 2 first-round picks, really, because we have the 32nd pick in the draft, some talented young players, and we're totally committed to winning. So do I think it's easy? No, but do I think this, for the right person, is a great job? I absolutely do.
Oh, my God.
We're totally committed to winning, I think. I don't even know what the hell that means. Somebody look up winning. Tell me what that means. Jesus Christ.
I love that he talks about having 2 first-round picks. You had 2 first-round picks last year.
I know. They do it all the time. they don't bring in gigantic high-dollar free agents. Nobody wants to play in that dirt hole.
Oh, come on, John. They got Dwayne Bowe.
Oh. Dwayne Bowe. What did he make, like $4 million a catch this year or some stupid shit like that?
Right.
Oh, and they got Brian Hartline. So I guess I'm wrong.
Oh, that's
right. They get big high name. We're not doing that anymore, says Cleveland. We're going to make draft picks that we have to cut because they can't do anything.
You are a factory of sadness.
Right.
That's right. They are. And that guy's becoming a star.
Yeah.
That guy's got a record out and everything now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's more successful than the team.
Yes, he is.
Haslam also, you're talking about Manziel. Haslam did confirm Sunday night Manziel missed some 9 a.m. scheduled appointment at the team's headquarters for treatment Sunday morning because, he's in the NFL's concussion protocol. And
right.
According to ESPN Las Vegas, Manziel was seen at a Vegas club on the strip wearing a blonde wig, fake mustaches, glasses, and a hoodie as a disguise while he partied all night in Vegas. The Browns will not comment on that. They're avoiding the whole fiasco. But according to the report, Manziel allegedly introduced himself as Billy.
Billy. Yeah, that's my name, Billy.
He said his name was Billy. And all I can think of is Billy. Our Billy.
Hooray!
Yeah, that Billy.
Hooray! I threw another interception. See, the Browns could be smart about this, right? The Browns could be smart about this. They clearly don't give a shit because they, again, keep firing everybody and telling everybody out there, come on back next year. We're going to get it right next time. So they clearly don't give a shit. So what they should do is they should just not give a shit 100% and say, you know what? Yeah, it was him. He's in the concussion protocol. He had no idea what he was doing. It was a serious head injury. He's going to have all off season to recuperate from this.
Well, his problem was, he introduced himself as Billy, but when he had to pay his bill, he had to use his credit card, which had his name on it. So he's like, they're like, you're not Billy.
That's what my dad called me.
It says here you're Johnny Manziel.
hey, we try not to let anybody know that here, right? Don't even look at the security cameras.
Oh, man. All I could think of when I heard this story was Michael Vick in Atlanta spreading herpes under the name Ron Mexico.
He probably borrowed the mustache from him.
Right.
That's one of those long handlebar mustaches. See, what the Browns should do, I'm serious, they should say this is a really bad concussion, Manziel really didn't have any. And then next year, okay, they now have an excuse to keep him regardless of what the guy in the dog mask thinks. So next year, whenever he throws an interception, they could say that because he had such a bad concussion, now he's split personality and Billy threw the interception. Billy doesn't know what he's doing out there. We want Johnny out.
Well, and we've talked about the whole Dallas thing. We know he wants to be in Dallas. We know Jerry was going to draft him if he could have. Michael Irvin, definitely. We heard from him. He wants him in there. But Moose Johnston, Daryl Johnston, used to play fullback for the Cowboys right. with Michael, when they won their rings. He doesn't want him anywhere near Dallas. He said he thinks the risk far outweighs the reward, and he'd be a huge distraction. And he said if he's having trouble away from the field in Cleveland, then he's really going to struggle in Dallas because the spotlight is, so much bigger.
Oh, really? You think?
The
glaring glitter of Cleveland nightlife isn't going to rival Dallas?
Well, he won't have to leave town anymore. He won't mind
isn't
staying
Dallas
there.
Dallas got like more strip clubs per capita than anywhere else. They have an Ohio State themed strip club, according to Tom.
Yeah. Well, sure. I'm sure all the programs have them.
Woody Hayes on a pole. Punching some guy from Michigan. Even my dog liked that one.
It's part of the recruiting process, John.
So what are the Browns going to do? All right, where do they draft? I haven't even looked at the draft order yet, because that's what you do when your team isn't finished. Yeah, boy.
They have the second pick and the 32nd pick in the first round.
Okay, so the second pick. They got to go for a quarterback again.
I'm guessing. I don't even care at this point. And Moose is just talking about Johnny as a backup quarterback, not even as a starter. He doesn't even think he can handle it coming in knowing, okay, you're the backup quarterback to Tony Romo. And, you know, if you do everything right, then maybe you end up inheriting the job when he's done. But they said, well, who else, you know, what about RG3? And Moose said, well, he wouldn't be the best option based purely on style of play, but I still think he's a much better fit than Manziel.
He's more coachable, that's for sure. Or at least you would hope. Well, what's the matter with this guy that they had out there on Sunday? What? I can't remember his name, but he sure as hell looks. But he looks like Fred McMurray in a football helmet.
Yeah, Kellen Moore, he threw for over 400 yards.
I know, because we were all on lawn chairs just chilling.
Right. Yeah, I know. You got, my God, Kirk Cousins, what, he threw 3 touchdowns in a quarter and a half.
Dude, he's got to stay hot. He's got to stay hot.
I told you. I told you. I said I would play him for a half. I think they did the right thing. I definitely think they did the right thing.
You you mentioned earlier that I was the champion of our fantasy football league, but I also remember a couple of weeks ago we were laughing because we were both in the championship, and you said, you should start Kirk Cousins. Ha, ha, ha. And as it turns out, I should have. I would have gotten like 300 points.
Oh, yeah. I wish I'd have started him.
Shoo.
Yeah. That, can you imagine you pick up and start Kirk Cousins over Cam Newton, and then that happens? I would look like the greatest genius in the history of fantasy football.
Dude, here's the thing. Earlier in the year, right after I traded and got a hold of Derek Carr, I got a hold of him to have a backup because, remember, Roethlisberger got hurt. I picked Kirk Cousins up off the waiver wire in like week 4. And then I cut him loose in, like, week 6. Shit.
Well, I remember when I had Peyton Manning, and he hadn't played well. He was getting ready to go play in the cold. And I picked up and started Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is when he was with the Rams.
Right, right.
You know, and he's throwing to Isaac Bruce and those guys, and because Warner was hurt. And I started him in the championship game. I picked up and started Ryan Fitzpatrick over Peyton Manning, and he had a way better game than Manning, and I won. So, yeah, it does happen. But here's the funny thing. Brandon Marshall actually addresses Johnny Manziel.
Johnny, this is a serious topic. Well, first, you got to forget about football. You need to go get your life together. And, you know, to be quite frank, I don't think you get it. You don't understand. And you're ruining a very, very special opportunity.
I got to agree.
He would know.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't he come up with bipolar or some shit like that? But he would definitely know about having to settle your ass down and get under the fucking program. Otherwise, you're blowing it.
Man, what a year he had for the Jets. Wow.
No shit. Remember the Jets? They were getting ready to go to the playoffs. They looked like 10-6. And the Bills aren't even that good. That's fucking hilarious.
I know. Dallas lost to both of them, so whatever. All right, well, let's go to break. And when we come back, we still got this Dexter Manley clip I want to play for you. And we got to talk about Tom Coughlin. That's all on the way.
Bang Radio.
That's my man, Jim Brown. Me and him partners, Jack.
Big nigga's leg. One of his legs as big as me. He come over to the house. If you ain't up, you think it's an earthquake. The nigga walking door.
Boom, say, oh shit, it's an earthquake. Just Jim, bro. Ain't nothing to it.
The motherfucker was voted athlete of the century. Played football 9 years. Gained all the yards you could possibly gain in the world. Never got hurt and never missed a motherfucking game. Now they got people get hurt in practice. And Jim played football when there wasn't but about 8-9 niggas playing. So you know he didn't have nobody blocking for him. Right, Jim, just go in the huddle, say,
give me the ball.
Right, and sometimes Jim said the motherfuckers used to elbow him in the nuts and hit him in the Adam's apple and shit. You know, Jim said he'd never get mad, never say nothing, he'd just get up and say,
that's gonna cost you 35 yards. He go back to the huddle. Give me the ball.
Wait, motherfuckers be hanging on. About eight motherfuckers be begging Jim. Please, Jim, we're on TV. Could you please? Would you fall down for us, please? My kids are watching. Please, Jim, please. One time, Jim bit a motherfucker's finger off. Cat stuck his hand inside Jim's face mask. Referee said, why'd you do that? Jim said, all outside this mask belonged to him, all inside belonged to me. And he's a beautiful, sensitive dude, man. We've been partners a long time. Got a lot of motherfucking integrity, you know what I mean? But it seems that some people have a death wish and like to fuck with him. And that's all it can be, is a death wish. I mean, that's the motherfucker say, I can't find a building to jump off of. Let's go up to Jim Brown's house and fuck with him. Because the nigga don't know nothing about the back down. You know, and he don't mind if you do. You know, I mean, but you can't just say to Jim, like, you don't get out of the way, I'm going to kick your ass. Because Jim say, well, that's the ass whooping I got to take. See, that make a motherfucker start negotiating right away. Excuse me, Jim, could I speak to you for a moment? I'll give you the wife, kids, and the car. And on my part, I'll just get the fuck out of your face. What do you say?
VOTech. For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Coach Belichick, can I ask you a question?
Well, certainly, Tom. Of course you can ask me a question.
Well, you know, Coach, you've given me some great advice throughout my career.
Well, thank you, Tom. I've tried to be there when you need me.
Well, you really have been, and I want you to know how much it means to me.
Well, think nothing of it, Tom.
Well, I just want to know, what do you do when you don't feel, you know, fresh?
Well, Tom, I use Summer's Eve. It helps keep me feeling fresh even on my heaviest flow days.
Oh, Summer's Eve, huh? Well, I think I'll give it a try. Thanks, Coach.
Summer's Eve, the official douche of the New England Patriots.
Hey, this is Sean from Stone Sour, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Cousins in the shotgun, knocking on the door for a third touchdown pass. Kirk looking left, caught, Jameson Crowder, it's a Redskins touchdown. Three touchdown passes in the first quarter for Kirk Cousins here in Dallas. That's going to do it. Final score this afternoon in Dallas is the Redskins run their record to 9-7. The Redskins 34 and the Cowboys 23.
That's all right. We're getting the fourth pick in the draft now. We're going to get Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State. It's great.
Yeah.
And we're ready to go.
As long as he's happy, he'll be all right. But, you know, he doesn't want to, like, quit the team like he was getting ready to do a couple of weeks ago for Ohio State.
Well, he was angry, wasn't he?
He was angry. But then he showed up and ran for, like, 220 the next week.
He ran all over Michigan.
Yeah.
He ran all over Notre Dame. Oh, my God, did he run wild on Notre Dame. I want that guy in Dallas running behind that line.
I'll tell you what, I know it says on our sheet here we're going to talk about the Redskins and the Cowboys, but since we're talking about college football, did you watch the – I guess we watched the playoff because we're old enough we don't give a shit about going out.
Yeah, I watched. I actually – John, I was at an Ohio State campus New Year's Eve party watching the playoffs.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, my
that's
son's cool. house. I was at, we were at my son's house. He lives with six guys in a giant 100-year-old house right in the middle of OSU campus.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God, that's awesome. They walk in, the first thing you see is their bar with their tap, and they got fifths of every different kind of alcohol on this spindle. You just turn it and fill up whatever you want. They had a beer vending machine, like a pop machine, only it was cans of beer, and it had this real sexy voice that would talk to you. You know, oh my God. I mean, he lives in the Big Bang Theory world. He really does.
See if you've got change back. See deeper. Check deeper.
Yeah.
Check deeper.
That's the way it was. It's hilarious. I'm like cracking up at these guys. So anyway, yeah.
They're on double secret probation, you know.
Right. What the hell are we supposed to do, you damn morons? Toga!
Oh, wow. That sounds great, man. I'm all jealous of that shit.
Yeah, so it was cool. We didn't stay till midnight, though, but we did watch the playoff games. And
Ed McCaffrey's kid can play some football, can he?
Yeah, but I think Ohio State would have given Alabama a much better game than Michigan State. Jesus Christ.
Well, either way, one way or the other, I guess if you wanted to be able to do that, you would have beaten them when you had the opportunity. It's just like, you know, with the Cowboys. They could be in the playoffs if they didn't lose 7 games in a row.
Well, you know, with Ohio State, man, they would have been there, but it was the play calling. Just ask Zeke. He'll tell you.
Because he knows better. I can't wait till he gets to Dallas where he could turn around to Jason Garrett and say, you know, you should have run me to the outside. Give me a headset. Let me talk to the boss. Jerry, listen to me.
Oh, shit.
Here's what you need to be calling. He'll call down to George Bush's box right below it.
Right.
Hey, shut up down there, you monkey-brained idiot. I got the goddamn running back on the phone.
Well, you know, the ratings for the playoffs this year were down, and I guess I kind of get it. I mean, you had Alabama, Michigan State.
It's New Year's Eve.
And it was plus it was a blowout.
Oh, shit, it's New Year's Eve. You got, in the biggest market in the country in New York, millions of people are in the middle of the street not even giving a shit.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, anywhere you were, they had the games on.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the thing is that's the NCAA and its arrogance saying, yeah, people they'll cancel their plans for the biggest party night of the year. They'll watch us.
They won't do that again. Guarantee it.
If you want some fun, go onto YouTube and type in, I think it was Young and the Restless, one of those stupid-ass freaking soap operas. But it's on ABC, so they're owned by Disney, which is parent company to ESPN.
Right.
And there were like 30 references during the soap opera by these freaking, oh my God, this person has never touched a football in his life, pretty boy. Yeah, we're going to be hanging out at the bar tonight watching the college football playoff on ESPN. They must have said it a dozen times. They had T-shirts on that said CFB playoff.
Wow.
ESPN. Damn.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty funny.
Who's going to win? I don't think they'll do that again. I don't know. I hope Clemson.
Really? I think Clemson's going to win.
I hope so.
I'm going to go ahead and go with the big offense.
I hope so. We'll see. But yeah, then of course the other game, you got, you know, Clemson and Oklahoma, where last year you had Oregon and Florida State, you know, gee, which one's more appealing? Of course, that was a blowout, too, last year. But, yeah, I mean, not even half the viewers they had last year. You know, they were getting like 30 million viewers last year, and this year they only got 15.
What they could do to stop that from happening anymore is instead of having a playoff system, they could have like a pool of voters that would decide who are the best teams.
Oh God,
that we would all want to
watch. All right. So back to the Redskins and a former Redskin by the name of Dexter Manley. This guy,
yeah,
you know, he's the one that said, "I think Troy Aikman's a queer." You hear it there in the open, in the show open. He was the one who said that. Well, now he's got another comment. They're talking about.
About Robert Griffin III on one of the talk shows.
They're talking about Kirk Cousins.
Well, yeah, but they're talking about it in relation to RG3 and what they're going to do with RG3 now that this is – it's like a comparison type thing. Because that's why Dexter gets on this particular topic.
Right. And then so here's what Dexter has to say.
He just doesn't become shaken in the face of adversity, and that for a young quarterback is crucial to being successful.
Yeah. I would say a lot of them, he got the protection up front.
Yeah.
He goes through his progression. He reads the defense. And Robert, you know, as a quarterback, most of the black quarterbacks, they like running because they're probably used to running from the laws. And so I think more important is that this guy has gone through his progression and he just plays well.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to come after that.
I love how every time this guy opens his mouth, the other hosts don't know what the hell to say in response to it.
They should stop trying to say anything in response to him. They should just say, thank you, Dexter, and move right on along. Who cares? You know, there's a guy on your street that thinks the same way. There's somebody that was sitting at your Thanksgiving table that thinks the same way.
Absolutely.
You know?
I can even tell you his name, but I won't.
Right, but see, Dexter, he thinks that way because that's where he comes from. If you ever watched that Football Life Dexter Manley on NFL Network, you should. Holy shit.
Right.
But he is crazy. So, of course he thinks this. And, you know, you can tell, like, for one, he's right. They are faster. So, when you're running from the cops, you got to be fast. And you got to be shifty, too, because they'll start shooting, you know. So, you got to go serpentine a lot.
That's funny. Every time you hear an announcer say, he's shifty, my wife looks at me and goes, is that a racist comment?
He's shifty.
Like, what?
Yeah, you can't trust him in there.
All right, so Tom Coughlin has resigned as the coach of the New York Giants, so that's nice, John. Two teams in our division have to start over.
I'm all broke up over it. I got to tell you, I'm all broke up over it.
Oh, I'm so glad he's gone. I got to give the man credit. I know we hate the Giants. You and I both hate the Giants. You call them subhumans. He's a hell of a coach, won two rings. One of them shocked the world. Both were against the Patriots, but, you know, that was the one of them was 2007, that 18-0 Patriots team. And, man, you know, they rolled everyone that year. Remember, Dallas was 13-3, and the Giants went in there and smacked the shit out of them. Then they went to Lambeau and won, and that just doesn't happen in January. And then, of course, they beat the undefeated Patriots, man.
Well, you know, when we even discuss that, it reminds, put it this way, way back in the old days, like 25, 30 years ago in my life, okay, I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, and sometimes the air would blow the right way from about 30 miles away. There was a paper plant, and if you've ever been nearby when a paper plant is milling paper, my God, the stench is freaking unbelievable. And it's so long ago that that stench is still in my nose. That's what it's like when we talk about the Giants winning Super Bowls. It just hangs in my nose.
Oh, does it? Just like mothballs. Have you ever smelled mothballs?
Oh, absolutely.
How'd you get their little legs apart?
You smooth talk them, dude.
All right. So anyway, here's Coughlin.
It's been an honor and a privilege for me to be the 16th head coach of the New York Giants. It's something you only dream about as a kid. I mean, there's no way it can possibly happen. You know, and so for me to stand here as the 16th head coach of the Giants at the conclusion of a 12-year term, it's quite an awesome experience, to say the least.
Yeah, he was a hell of a coach, man. And, you know, you can tell because I remember early on the players, you know, Strahan complaining about boot camp, you know, and all of that.
Right.
And now they love him. So that tells me he's a great coach.
Yeah, when he was in Jacksonville, he really was hard on the players.
Right.
But he took them to AFC championships, like right out the chute.
That's right. And, you know, listening to the players talk about him, man, you know, talking about how he made them better men, better fathers, better husbands, you know, not just, you know, he made them better off the field more than he did on the field.
He has a 9-DVD series called Tom Coughlin's Way to Become a Better Man, and he made them all watch it.
Is that right?
That's right. See, so like right now, they can't sack a quarterback, but they know how to, you know, support their woman when she's in a time of need.
Well, Eli Manning, he took it pretty hard.
Hang out your head, Tom Dooley. Hang out your head and cry.
All right, so here's Coughlin. Coughlin even has to address him because Eli's blaming himself.
It's all my fault, Coach. If I didn't just think as bad as God awful God thing.
Eli's blaming himself. He feels like if he'd have played better this year, they'd have won more games and Coughlin would still be the coach. And here's Coughlin on Eli, and he's even going to speak to Eli directly during this.
He's done it before. He'll handle it again. He's extremely bright. He's extremely competitive. He's what you want a son to be made out of, because what... I mean, he thinks he's the reason. He's not the reason that I'm... Eli, it's not you. It's not you. It's us. It's we win, awful. We lose together. Remember, when we lose, I lose.
Oh, my God. He's looked at me. Eli, it's not your fault. Don't
call my fault, Coach. Oh, my God. I didn't think so. Dang, man. I should have run out there and sacked the quarterback myself. I should have, swear to God. Our defense couldn't stop nobody. It's all my fault.
Hey, Bill Belichick actually said something substantial. It wasn't just, you know, what all this other stuff. Here's what he said about Coughlin.
Tom's had a great career, you know, as head coach and as assistant coach. Been a friend of mine for a long time. I have a lot of respect for Tom, his family, the way he approaches his job and the way he coaches. You know, a lot for him to be proud of. And unfortunately, a couple of his biggest wins came at our expense. But, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for all that he's accomplished in his career.
What else is Bill going to say? I mean, you know.
Of course. You know, it's a small fraternity. You know?
Right.
So even though Bill's never going to coach again after he leaves New England, I'd be surprised if he did. He's still got assistant coaches. You don't burn any bridges anywhere in there. Anywhere. You won't hear any coach ever say anything bad about anybody.
Right.
Yeah. It's a small group, and they go around in circles, man.
Wait a minute. I know there's a coach that used to be in Detroit that would probably have some things to say about Harbaugh.
Well, yeah, you know. Well, he's up in Buffalo now, right? So they're going to probably get their chance next year.
Oh, the phone's ringing. Hey, Bang Radio Hour, what's up?
Hello there, John and Tom.
Is this Coach Coughlin?
This is the Colonel calling you because I have been waiting for you. I have been waiting for you for 4 days since I have decided to move aside, and you have yet to call and congratulate me on my amazing decision.
We were just going to do that. We were just talking about you, Coach.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, sure.
Well, listen, this is a real honor. Why did you decide to hang it up?
Well, here, Tom, I tell you, if it's time to just step aside, to make way for the new Reich, you know. Like all soldiers like me, we know when it's time to step away. And when you look at how bad the Giants are, right now is a pretty good time to get the hell out of town, yeah? Somebody else's mess now, yeah? Well, yeah. So that's pretty much how it comes about. You take a look around you and you see, you know, it's like I'm standing in the pasture, stepping in something disgusting. It's time to go.
Yeah, well, you have Eli and Odell, and I don't know who's going to take over, but that's basically what they're going to have. You know, Bill Belichick, we just heard from him, and he said some really nice things about you.
That's very nice of him. You know, I'll tell you something now. I'll let you in on a little secret.
Okay.
When we signed the treaty that ended Super Bowl 42, one of the terms of capitulation was that he always has to say nice things about
me. Oh, is that right?
That's right. That's right. And he should, for I am his superior. And thanks to his ineptitude, I am going to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, okay. Are you sure? Really? Are you a Hall of Famer?
Surely you're making a joke. Of course I am going to the Hall of Fame. I am the shoe-in. I've won 2 Super Bowls with Eli Manning. Eli Manning. And one of them was against him when he was undefeated. So there, easy smoothie. Into the Hall of Fame goes me, thanks to Bill Belichick.
Yes, I agree. I think you should be in the Hall of Fame. Are you done?
I will be in the Hall of Fame, Tom, because if I am not in the Hall of Fame, we will attack at dawn.
Oh, well, you would be eligible in 5 years. That's if you don't coach. Are you done coaching? I mean, what's the deal? What's next for Tom Coughlin?
Well, let's just say I'm 71 years old, I think, and that means 5 years. I don't think that far ahead. I'm just going to try to keep breathing that long. I may coach again. I'm not sure what to do next. I may retire to Argentina, you know, Brazil, meet some old friends. Maybe I'm the commandant of another football squadron. I don't know. I will say this, though, Tom. When I was commandant of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I was very hard on my men.
Yes.
To me, yeah. To me, training camp was like any other camp. If you are in the camp, you will work until you die.
All right, Coach. Yeah. Well, if you never coach another game, you are a Hall of Famer. You've had an amazing career, and congratulations.
Brad certainly appreciates that, I tell you this. But I tell you, when I come to the Giants, I find out that's not the way you should be anymore. So you can bet, whoever I'm talking to now, you can get the same understanding, caring, compassionate Colonel that you see cuddling little Eli as he cries his crocodile tears.
All right, Coach. Well, I'm so glad you called, and you call us anytime.
Certainly. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Call me.
Oh, there you go. All right, Coach, take care. He hasn't changed a bit, John.
Well, you know, he may be. He's more kind and understanding and caring, Tom.
Yeah.
Thanks to Eli Manning and his ability to set aside his masculinity week in and week out and then cry in front of everybody, blame himself.
I swear to God, that's so perfect that he does it. My fault.
Charles Woodson hung it up, too, and I'd say he's probably a first ballot Hall of Famer. As much as I hate Michigan, that guy has had a remarkable career.
Absolutely. From high school on up, he's had a remarkable career. So, yes, he is definitely in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
All right, so now we're finding out the Chargers, Rams, and Raiders have all filed applications to move to Los Angeles starting this coming season. All three of them have applied. Now, the next step, obviously, is a league vote. Three-quarters of the owners must vote yes for a team to be able to move. Now, you know, we don't expect more than two of the teams to get approved. They're not going to put three teams in L.A. I mean, you would hope not. You probably ought to find out if one can be successful, but they're probably going to put two because that's, you know. But they're going to give them a new stadium. I mean, this is always the problem. This is what moving, you know, to a new city is about. Right. It's about a stadium. And, you know, right. San Diego's mayor is basically pulling the same crap in San Diego that the mayor in Cleveland pulled with them, you know. And I know Cleveland fans went through it here. I tell you what, I would like to have fans of those teams post stuff on our Facebook. I want to hear from them. Maybe we can read some next week. But, you know, like I said, I watched Cleveland go through this. And it's got to be hard to deal with, man. I can't even imagine the Cowboys leaving Dallas. And, I think about our San Diego friends that do the Bolt Talk podcast.
Right, Lauren and Ray.
You know, I mean, the Rams had left L.A. before. They were the L.A. Rams. And the Raiders have done this twice now. But here's the thing I'm wondering about, John, because I don't know if you remember this. When the Browns moved to Baltimore, the NFL put rule, you know, the NFL did not want them to move.
Right, right. Art Modell just uprooted them.
Well, yeah, because Baltimore gave him a new stadium with luxury.
With a lot of cash, and a great tax deal,
and luxury box suites, and all of that, but here was the thing. Here was the thing that went along with this move. The NFL put rules in place that stated you cannot take the team name, colors, and history with you if your team leaves and moves to another city. That's why we have the Baltimore Ravens instead of the Baltimore Browns. So, what does that mean? Does that mean that we won't see the LA Chargers?
You can't get rid of the Raiders.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure that the owners can all go, well, we're going to amend that. We're going to change that.
They have to. That's
I don't
ridiculous.
Know. And the Rams used to be the L.A. Rams. So I don't know. But that was put in place when the Browns moved. They said from now on, any team that moves, they have to leave the old team behind. History, everything. That's why when Cleveland got a team back, they're the Cleveland Browns with the colors and the history.
Well, that's absolutely outrageous. I mean, you know, that's Cleveland crying. And I think that we ought to do what we do every time that Cleveland cries and just ignore them. They're going to fuck it up, whatever it is that they want. So this is ridiculous. You cannot just you can't say, okay, you can't move here because you're the Oakland Raiders and we have to keep you as the Raiders. You can't say, all right, if you're coming here, you can't be the frickin' Rams anymore. You have to be the, I don't know, the Balloons. I mean, if you can get rid of one, you get rid of the Chargers. I mean, let's face it, that's kind of a faggot.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
No, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. And you can't put two teams in one city when they're of teams of that caliber. I'm sure the people of Los Angeles are thrilled with these choices. You know, I mean, come on. The Raiders are coming up. I'll give them that. Okay, the Chargers packed it in week three.
Right.
Yeah. And who's the other one? The Rams. Oh, boy. Greg frickin' Williams is coming to town. The crime rate's ready to go up.
Right.
Dude looks like the biggest douchebag beatnik wannabe ever standing on that sideline, doesn't he? Watch. Pretty soon, he's going to be standing over there with those stupid freaking glasses and that dumbass goatee of his with a freaking beret on his head. What do you want to bet?
Oh, hell.
You know, so, yeah, if I'm a fan in L.A., I'm thinking, no thanks. What the hell, man? What's this going to cost me to get these crappy teams here?
Well, you know, they got a whole deal in place to build a brand new stadium that will house both teams, just like, you know, the Giants and the Jets have. And that's fine. That's great. And, I mean, you know, I just don't know if L.A.'s going to support these teams. I mean, who knows?
Well, then
man.
You would have to assume, I'm sorry, you'd have to assume that the Rams would be one of them then. They have to be one of them.
because
I don't. Yeah.
Otherwise, the Chargers and the Raiders, they're in the same conference and they're in the same division.
Oh, that's right.
Right. So two games a year, they're just going to be flip flopping locker rooms. You know, for a home team and an away game. That kind of throws the balance of the division, I think. Well, at least the bottom of it anyway, because the Chiefs are romping and stomping everything in their path.
But they'll have separate season ticket holders. They'll have their fans and, you know, for their home game, and then the other team will have their fans. Of course, you know they're going to buy up tickets if they can, the opposing team fans.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they can. Let's face it, they're Raider fans. They might not, you know, be able to scrape enough out of their mom's couch cushions.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I guess they're going to vote next week.
I'm going to bet that if that is a consideration, that they're going to have a stadium for both teams, then one of them has to be the Rams, because the other two are in the same conference.
Yeah.
And the way that the Giants and the Jets work is that they only play each other once every 3 years, and they can balance the schedule out because they're both in different conferences.
Once every 4 years, actually.
Yeah, you're right. Once every 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. All right. One more thing before we make our playoff picks. Golden State Warrior star Andre Iguodala. I don't know if you know who this is. You know, NBA player. Right. He does not want his daughter to take up basketball for fear that she will become a lesbian.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a valid point there, Tom.
Lesbian!
Yeah.
Just ask what's his name from the Wizards. What the fuck was his name? Oh, hell, who did we have on the show a couple of weeks ago that got all in trouble because about the WNBA being full of lesbians and ugly women?
Oh, yeah, Gilbert Arenas.
Gilbert Arenas has gotten to Iguodala.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
He's got a point.
Now, this is a claim being made by the baby mama.
Right.
Okay, she's 6 years. The daughter is 6 years old. Her name's London. And the baby mama, they're going through some ugly divorce case right now. His wife, Clayana Worthen. She testified.
Clayana.
She testified Monday.
I'm sorry.
I know.
What, was Dirtina taken?
She. Jesus. She testified Monday in a child support hearing. That Andre had issues with his daughter playing basketball at school because he was worried she might turn into a lesbian. Well, TMZ Sports broke the story. Of course, TMZ Sports broke the story. And she said she wants Iguodala. Okay, first off, right now she gets $16,000 a month in child support.
Whoa, that's pretty sweet. I mean, damn, that's really freaking sweet for a woman named after pottery.
Right. Well, here's the thing. She wants $58,000 a month.
Holy shit. Oh, my God. Otherwise, I'm going to give her a basketball. You give me $58,000, or that's it. No grandchildren. Your daughter is going basketball.
Well, she says her daughter's a genius. She says her daughter has a 151 IQ. At 6 years old, she's already reading Harry Potter books. I'm like, okay. And she says that Iguodala doesn't pay attention to her. She says he's not even paying for London's full tuition, and he has shunned her. He didn't bother to call her on Christmas. She says that Iguodala saw her for a grand total of 9 hours in 2015. She says it's so bad, she needs money to cover London's therapy.
Oh, her six-year-old's therapy, $58,000 a month. The genius, child genius, who's reading Harry Potter. She's probably not reading it properly.
Well,
who knows what the story's about to her?
Iguodala's lawyer, he says this is bullshit. She wants money for a personal chef and $7,000 for floor seats to the 76ers games, and calls her request a prescription for spoiled children.
Your Honor, this woman's nothing but a gold digger. She wants to go to 76ers games, for God's sake.
Yeah, come
Nobody
on.
Nobody likes them. They're terrible.
Come on, man. You know what? Look,
hey, I got to tell you, we have stories like this about these gold diggers and things like this
for
all the time about athletes. This is primarily why I decided not to become a professional athlete.
Oh, is that right?
That's right. I could read the writing on the wall. Hey, don't be laughing so loud there, Poindexter.
I always wondered why, John. I always
well,
did. I'm glad I know. I always wondered, why didn't John become a pro?
He could have been a pro.
He could have picked his sport and been the best in the world.
Oh, shit.
All right, so I like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm really excited about the playoff games. I love these matchups, and it's funny because you look at them, and it's like, all right, a couple of them look obvious, but you know which game was hardest for me to pick?
The Steelers and Bengals for me.
No, for me it was the Chiefs-Texans.
The Texans have a hell of a good defense, but man,
so does the
Chiefs have just been rumbling people.
They have a great defense too, and you know, if I'd have told you, back at the beginning of the year, John, the Chiefs are going to win their last 10 games in a row, and they're going to do it without Jamal.
Because Alex Smith is running all over people.
Right. And then, you know, Charkhandrick. Here comes Charkhandrick West tearing it up. Jeremy Maclin. Right. Look at the Chiefs have a legit wide receiver catching touchdowns, man. That's crazy. When did
you know what? Smith was the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And he's a late bloomer. Whether anybody wants to say, oh, you know, he's not lighting up the scoreboard, the team is. They're putting up points big time.
Hey, man. Yeah. No, this guy's.
They are legit.
The guy's a good quarterback. Look, Troy Aikman didn't put up fantasy numbers, but he was an excellent leader on that field, and he executed to perfection, you know? So, I mean, well,
You know, even still, was I can't remember. Troy was the first overall, wasn't he? Was he the first overall pick?
Was he number
one? I
remember
that's a long time ago.
I feel. Yeah. 1989.
Okay. Yeah. Now I forgot my point because we were. See what happens, damn it.
Well, anyway, you know, Alex Smith, he executes great. And, you know, he can pick up first downs. He does all the time with his legs.
He runs the offense.
Yeah.
That's what he does. And, he's opportunistic in things like that.
But for me, you know, this is a slam dunk pick if they're playing in Kansas City, but the game's in Houston. But I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I just think they're hot. They've won more in a row than any other team going into the playoffs. You know, do you realize that the Patriots, you know, they were 10-0. They've gone 2-4 since then.
I know. They're a mash unit. There's nobody left for him to play with. Brady's just out there with Steven Jackson. Oh, hey, man, my sister wants an autograph after the game, okay?
Yeah, well, their problem is he's getting killed, man. Their offensive line sucks.
Dude, I tell you what. I saw a picture on Twitter today of Tom Brady at a press conference. And I swear, I think the man is wearing a toupee.
I'm not kidding.
I think he's wearing a
toupee. I don't know. He always starts the season with his head just about shaved.
I think as it grows out, there's a lot less of it coming out because this thing sure looks like a toupee, and nobody at that age wearing a helmet for this many years has a cuddly mop top like that.
All right, so, I don't know. Did you see Brian Urlacher? He got hair implants.
He's not just a client of the hair club for men, Tom. Yeah. He's the president.
Yeah, he's got hair now, man. That's
good
funny.
For Brian Urlacher.
Yeah. So anyway, who are you picking, Chiefs or Texans?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs because the way I look at it is this. Even though the Texans have a very good defense, the Chiefs have a very good defense, and I think the Texans' offense, led by
Brian Hoyer?
Oh, that's who it is. It's Hoyer this week. So, yeah, led by Brian Hoyer is not enough of a matchup for the Chiefs' defense as opposed to the Chiefs' offense against the Texans' defense.
Yeah, I love DeAndre.
It'll be tight. They won't roll him over, but it'll be like something like 24-13. I'll have my official Bang Radio Hour predictions on Twitter before the games.
I love DeAndre Hopkins, but he can't do it all himself. And then, like you said, now you said you were struggling with this Steelers-Bengals game, and this is great. Third time they're going to meet this year. They split in the regular season. I don't think A.J. McCarron's ready for this stage.
I don't know. You know what? He started playing really well, I thought, against the Broncos, and then his defense didn't play very well, and then they had the big mistake in overtime. But the defense didn't. If they show up, I think he's well enough to be able to handle the offense and play it. He's got good weapons around him. However, I'm going to have to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers because Ben Roethlisberger is just a big, bad MF-er, man, and that's all there is to it. He's just going to roll past them.
And that receiving core is ridiculous, man.
I know. They are ridiculous. They all show up in one car, you know, and one of them gets out with big floppy feet.
They will be without D'Angelo Williams, so you got, Toussaint?
Toussaint.
Fitzgerald Toussaint will be the running back for this game. So, I don't know, man. I think A.J. McCarron will crumble.
Well, I think that they'll make him crumble. I think James Harrison will get in here and take a bite out of him, and that'll be the end of that.
All right, and then on Sunday, we've got the Seahawks going into Minnesota. Into Minnesota in the early game.
-5 degrees outside. I'm still going to go with the Seahawks, because you know, if you had to look at all the quarterbacks in the NFC that were in the playoffs right now, all right, Cam Newton's had a great season, but the way they're coming into the playoffs right now, Russell Wilson's either at the top of the list or number two in terms of how well he's been playing.
Oh, he's number one. Yeah, nobody has been as good as him the last several weeks. Nobody.
Now, remember what I was saying a couple of weeks ago about Johnny Manziel, about how he runs around behind the line of scrimmage with a disguise on and keeps the plays going like that? Well, I was dead wrong. He's a fucking loser. But Russell Wilson does the same thing. And these little guys get open.
Oh, my God, I know. Baldwin and Lockett are just crushing
it, man.
Tearing
it up. And who's that rookie, too? The other one, the rookie, number 15. I can't even remember his name.
Lockett. Yeah, remember he was the one that got hurt in the Dallas game, got crushed on special teams really bad, yeah. And he was out, and now he's back, and he's great, too. And, you know, we already watched him go into Minnesota and kick the shit out of them, and that was weeks ago. And then you saw what they did to Arizona last week on the road, so now they're going on the road and doing it. I like the Vikings offensive, the offensive line in Seattle's not great, but Russell's just getting rid of the ball faster now. That's mm-hmm. what's going on there. So I like Seattle, and I'm going to tell you right now, before you say a word about the second game on Sunday, Packers at Redskins, I am absolutely taking Washington to win this game. I think I think they might just actually kick the shit out of Green Bay.
Well, you know, I never said you were stupid.
I appreciate that.
I hope so. I'm still holding, you know, I'm still reserved on my judgments here, even though I know they're playing as hot as freaking lava and Kirk Cousins is on fire. He's en fuego.
Yep.
There's always the possibility that they run into Aaron Rodgers on a day that Aaron Rodgers decides to be Aaron Rodgers. And that the Packers defense, see, the Cowboys game sticks in my head. Not this last one, but the one on Monday Night Football where they just beat the shit out of the Redskins from the get-go, and the Redskins did nothing to stop it. So the potential exists for that kind of thing, but if I'm going to have to sit there and look at it objectively, Kirk Cousins has a hot hand.
He definitely does, man.
He has the hot hand. And the Redskins, I think, have more sacks than anybody over the last six games, and Rodgers has been running for his life. I think we ought to take James Jones and rip that hoodie up over his head like a freaking backwards wedgie.
That's exactly it. That's it. So I guess you're taking the Redskins?
I'm taking the Redskins, baby. Hail to the Redskins, baby.
All right. Well, sounds like we agreed on all four. Chiefs, Steelers, Seahawks, Redskins.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Has Russell Wilson ever played in a game this cold?
I don't know. That's the one thing, you know, that's always the weather can always be the great equalizer, and who's more prepared for that cold, who can handle it better, because you know, when it gets cold like that, it's all about who hits harder.
Right. And you don't get used to it. You know, nobody's got any advantage in this. It's just a matter of who can deal with it at that time. And I got to say, Teddy Bridgewater is Uncle fucking Rico.
He can throw a football over those mountains.
I know. It's the weirdest thing, man. He's got that sidearm delivery. It looks like Uncle Rico throws the ball. His elbow stays glued to his hip.
All right, and just one more note before we wrap this up. One thing that I, you know, at the beginning of the show, I said, okay, so the Eagles and Giants now have to start over. Did you hear?
Yeah.
Did you hear who is interested in the Eagles job?
I'd read that Gruden said he wanted to talk to them, but then I read that he tweeted to Howard Eskin that he was not interested. That was just a rumor.
Oh, good, because I don't want that to happen.
Fine where he is.
If Chucky decides to come out of the booth and be a head coach, Garrett's out. That's it.
I like Chucky giving his weekly phone call to my coach.
Right. All right, man. Well, we will be here next week, and then we go into the divisional playoffs, and then we'll be here the week after that, and then we'll have the conference championships, and then we'll do one show in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, and this time we won't leave you hanging. We didn't even do a show after the Super Bowl last year.
I know.
That was terrible.
I know. We've been terrible about this.
But we will do it this year, I promise, and we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bank Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Whoa! Shell saltwater supercars! They look fun!
Science-fueled fun, actually, Dad. Toy cars that run salt water.
Fuel the family fun with Shell saltwater supercars. Fill up with £30 or more, and you'll qualify to buy a car from just
£3.99. I want one!
Okay, Dad.
Fill up on fun with saltwater supercars at Shell. Participating sites, conditions apply. See shell.co.uk/saltwatersupercars for details.
With rapid insurance on Vodafone Business, we'll get a replacement phone to you within 4 hours. So if you should...
Oh, no.
Or even... Oh. Just get in touch and we'll...
Your replacement phone, sir.
Your phone replaced within 4 hours with our rapid insurance. Available on our new and limited data plans. The future is exciting. Ready? Vodafone Business.
Max download upload speeds apply to data. Coverage may vary. Unlimited and rapid terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.